Okay. We're ready. We're going to open up. This is a supplemental lesson, a transitional lesson, as we go into our next book, whatever that book will be. But we're going to look at something today that's just a brief look, something to get you thinking over the holiday and beyond, about prayer and how it fits in this dispensation of grace, and what, not so much as an exhaustive study of it, obviously that would be way too much for me and my limited knowledge on it, but just enough for us to get an idea in this dispensation of grace about prayer and its purpose and the privilege we have and the power of it. And that'll give you something to think about, like I said, as you are, even if you entertain the subject, because it is a big subject where people, they have a lot of faith, I would say, invested in prayer, in the process of it, where they want you to pray for things, or pray for me, or pray for this, or pray for that. And a lot of disappointment is probably behind prayer because the people don't get the things that they pray for. So I'm not trying to exhaust this. I can't, but it's just something for us to think about in this dispensation of grace. So we're going to start out with, this is the first thing in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter, I believe it's chapter 2.
Yes.
No, that's good. 1 Timothy 2. Start at verse 1. This is Paul. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of God. Of the truth. Now, I just use that verse as a launching verse because it really, to me, it sums up the focus of prayer. Because God says, first of all, He says to pray for all men and for those in authority. And there's, if you look at that, there's like four areas that He focuses on in verse. Chapter 1, he says, supplications, right? He says, supplications, prayers, what else? Giving of thanks. Intercession and giving of thanks, right? Intercession and giving of thanks. He kind of gives you it's kind of like a table of contents for that surrounds prayer. Supplications, prayers, giving of thanks, and intercession be made for all men. And the reason why he says that, he says, because it's God's will that all men be what?
Saved
and come into the knowledge of the truth. And when I look at that, that's when God uses that all these areas of prayer or conversation with God should be focused, the ultimate end should be on the salvation and the coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that's broad, because in every situation, you want the believer, if he's saved, if he's not saved, you want him to be saved, because that's what he just told you. It's God's will Like Louise, we talked about this. It's God's will that all men be saved. And it's God's will that all men come into the knowledge of the truth. Will that happen?
No.
Well, why not?
Free will.
Man still has, he still has to operate in faith. Now, I don't want to branch off too far, but God gives us faith through his word. He gives his word. We either believe what's written or we don't. The power, if the word is spiritual, and I think where we lose our somewhat of focus, we lose focus, is that we don't give the word as much credit as it's due. We don't look at it as having life in the word, but we should. So it's God's will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So we have our supplication, prayers, giving of thanks, and intercession be made for all men. And that deals with the weakness that we possess. All these deals with our weakness, whether it's a physical weakness or spiritual weakness. Our physical weakness is dealing with the circumstances and situations that we are confronted with. The spiritual weakness is just our unbelief. So we should be, in all these situations, we should be praying for the saints. If they're not where they are spiritually, is we pray for their unbelief. If they're not where they are physically, we pray for their, we intercede for them, and we supplicate for them. You say, what? What's that? Well, when we think about, this is what I think. When we think prayer, the first thing I think about is how people say, well, what did Jesus say? How did Jesus say we should pray? All right. Matthew chapter 5. We'll see.
Our Father.
That's Matthew 5. So automatically, if you start off with that, what's your first thought when we say, what would Jesus pray for? Well, I mean, what's your first in right division process?
Well, for us,
what's your first thought when you say, what would Jesus pray for? Your first thought would be, my first thought would be
salvation.
That he's praying. He's praying under the law.
Oh, you know, when we hear what Jesus
right.
said in Matthew.
So whatever he says, if I can draw from that principle, I could. But more than likely, he's going to say some things that's consistent with the law. Why would he say something that's consistent with the law? Because he's under the law, isn't he? Right?
It says it in Romans that he came to confirm the okay. promises to the Father.
He's going to, in Matthew, he says this.
Jesus, according to the flesh.
According to the flesh, right. Chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, we put a lot of stock in this to the Beatitudes, but this is his teaching. He's laying down teaching that would apply in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven on earth, which is not the body of Christ. And okay, verse 31. I'm sorry, 5:31. It hath no. That's not what I want. Chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do no alms. You know what alms is, right? That's giving. Before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, here we are, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, as if hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And before we get into this prayer, he's given them information, he's given them information, the Jewish people of that day, how, and this is different areas of their life. We just singling out prayer. He says, don't pray like them. He says, number one, they pray to be seen. Right? They pray to be noticed. They pray long and loud. He says, you pray what? In secret.
Short and sweet.
And, right. And they do repetitive prayers. So, yeah. He says, you don't do that. He says, I'm going to tell you what to pray for. Here we go. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Hallowed. Right. It's hallowed or holy.
Above.
Now, and he's saying this for a reason, because so far they have profaned his name through their unbelief and rejection of the law. So when he's coming, he's putting the kingdom back
in order.
That's why they're preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says,
and Hosea talks about the render the calves of our lips.
Right. All this is overlaps. But they profaned his name, so he's coming to correct what has been wrong for years. He says, hallowed be thy name. Here you go. Thy what? Kingdom come. Right? Thy kingdom come. Thy what?
Will.
Thy will be done. On earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, all this, like I said, all this goes together. We're not trying to do an exhaustive study of this, but they're getting ready as a nation. What has to come before they set the kingdom up?
Tribulation.
They have to go through that. It's a purging process. Oh, it's in prophecy. So when they're praying that prayer, this is not something that they made up. He's telling them what to pray for. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it means something to them. And it will mean something to them. I remember my uncle always say that you praying to give us this day our daily bread, and you got a house full of food and the freezer full of snacks, and you got an abundance of food, and you praying for give us this day our daily bread. Now, and our trespasses have already been forgiven. Is our forgiveness conditional?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Free.
Huh?
Free.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So you can see the difference in their prayer with our prayer. Mm-hmm. Right? Do you see where it makes sense for them to, when he says to pray this way?
Sure.
The main thing that I'm thinking is this. He talks about the kingdom, and he says, thy will be done. Those are two things that stand out. So when Jesus lays that down for them to pray, they should pray exactly for that, for things that concern the kingdom being set up, and things that concern his will being done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay. I'm going to use this verse in John chapter 5. Still with stay with Jesus here. This is verse John chapter 5, verse 5. Tell you what, just go back to one. That's a lot of verses, but chapter 6. John chapter 6. After these, this is when Jesus fed the 5,000. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. So there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they could, as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I'm just, does it sound like he's making provision for them? Mm-hmm. If he's telling them to pray, we just found on Matthew, pray for their what?
Daily
bread. Here they are in a situation where, what are we going to feed these people? And he says, we need a lot to get this done. And all we have is this. And he, verse 13, therefore they gathered them together. Well, he prayed. This is in another book. He prays and he distributes it. Verse 14, he says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now, I'm reading that because that's interesting to me. If that's what he wants to do, is be a king, right?
On his
terms.
What's that?
Not a normal earth king.
He said, thy kingdom come, and they realize that, you know what, this has to be him.
It's not part of the plan.
And he said, what was it? He says, it is his will to be the king, isn't it?
Yeah, but he had to drink of a cup first.
So then some things had to be done first. Okay. Verse 16.
As you said earlier, he came to set things in order. That would have been out of order.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at, we're in 6, right? 6. Tell you what, I'm not going to read all that. Let's go down to verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they get through, Jesus takes off. Both the disciples and Jesus takes off. The disciples go before Jesus and Jesus goes later. Well, these people came looking for him. Guess why? They wanted something from him. Verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. I'm trying to condense this now. What the Lord does, even when he prayed and broke that bread, it's all to direct them to his purpose. Not just for the him feeding them, not for the just for the provision that he can give them. It's a purpose behind it. It's for them to see who he really is. Now, even though there are some people that came just for the food. Now, look at, I think this is Mark. I think it's in Mark chapter 6. And then we're going to move from here. Mark 6. Here's the crowd came for the food. Here's the crowd that came for the food. Now, here's his disciples. Mark 6, verse, 45. He feeds them. This is after he feeds them with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or is it 2 fish and 5 loaves? Okay. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed unto a mountain to pray. And when he even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And when he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh to them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them and into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves for what?
Their heart
was hardened. Now, I kind of went around only because you have two groups of people here. You have some people who follow the Lord just to see what they can get.
Just like prayer today.
Just like prayer. That's where I'm going.
Dinner and a show.
Just like prayer. Dinner and a show, right. Just like prayer today. They just wanted what do I get out of this? I'm a believer, and I got a list of things that I want done. And as long as God is filling that list and checking my list off,
we're all good.
We're good.
Their will or his will.
And he told them, he said, you're not here for me.
You're here for the
worship. He said, you're not here for me. You're here for the meat. And then he turns around. Now, this is, we're going to just put here all. I won't say all. We would say many. Many here, they're here for the meat. And then he goes to the 12.
Meats for the belly and the belly.
But he goes to the 12, and then he said they considered not Here's some people that did consider the provision, but he said, that's all you're here for. And then he goes to the 12 and he said, they didn't consider it because their heart was hardened. Yeah, same thing I said. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, usually that means unbelief.
It means unbelief. So when they said, the first thing they said was this, is this must be that prophet. Just, they said, this has to be him. What prophet?
The one that Moses spoke.
The one that's coming to. And they were right. But then when he shows up, he says, you're not even. Why did you get excited when the water rose up? You didn't. When the water, the sea was turbulent, they got excited about it. Why? Why? Why were they frightened?
So
they said, yeah, pray. They prayed, save me.
Shortest prayer in the Bible.
Peter did it. Peter, the leader, same thing. He said, come on out. But because they doubted what?
That he could save them.
They doubted it. They just, on the one hand, they says, you know what? This is him. And then they turn right around in another situation and say, I don't know if it's him.
So is that one that he's saying that hearts were hard?
He says, how can you trust me in one situation and then the next situation you don't?
Gotcha. It's like when he died and was buried.
Okay.
They didn't believe them. They went back to their fishing.
Nah, that's them. Yep. I'm just laying that down. Just because they pray, they see him, they pray, they get the provision.
It's kind of like today, though, because some people pray for things that they want, and then they get it, and they're like, oh, I believe, and then the next minute they don't get it, they're like,
That's,
where were you? Why?
You got,
yeah.
Here you have some people who, we're going to use this term,
right.
They maybe not even saved, obviously. Here's some people that they're supposed to be, right, believers. Right? But they both have the same problem when it comes to trusting the Lord in the provision that he's already made. Some, they're only coming for that. Some doubt it if he doesn't do it.
So it's like today is like fleshly Christians,
like
normal Christians, the weaker Christians who are
maturely. I'm just letting you let your thought process go. I'm not telling. This is not to tell you anything about what to believe. This is just I'm giving some information here for us to toss around as we go on. Now, the Lord Himself prayed, didn't He? He taught his disciples how to pray. The prayer was concerned. The prayer was about the kingdom and his will being done. And all those things surrounding that should have been that focus. The Lord said this, right, like this. Remember when he was healing Lazarus? And he said, what is that, 20, John? Where he says, where John what?
John
11. Okay. Yes. John 11 verse 38. He says, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Excuse me. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when they had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, he is healing Lazarus, and he prays so they can hear him. And he says, Father, I'm praying this not for me, but for who? For them. And then we're going to move off of this. Did they think that he could raise Lazarus?
No.
Although they've seen him, he's done the miracles, he's done all the signs and wonders up to this point. And they said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Look, they're saying to the Lord, if you had been here, you could have fixed this. And he says, do you think I can fix it? And she says, yeah.
In the last
day. Yeah. In the,
resurrection.
And he says, she said, you still don't get it, do you? What's easier for me to say I can fix it or to fix it? Okay, so he says, what I'm going to do, I'm doing this not for me, for you. Where he says,
out there right across the plate.
He says, Father, I'm saying this for them. I know you always hear me, but I'm saying this for them, that they may know that you sent me, that they may know that I am the one with the answers. I am the one that can do it, even if I don't do it the way they want me to do it. I'm still the one that can do it. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus. I said, Lazarus.
One time,
didn't he? Because he has the power, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He comes out. Could he not do it before that?
Yeah.
He purposely waited 4 days.
Just like he purposely waited for the deadness of Abraham's flesh.
Why would he wait for that?
It makes it more impossible.
Yeah. It makes it more impossible.
Well, no, like an earthly belief, like how we think of things, the longer someone's dead.
No, you can't bring
it. 4 days start to stink. Yeah. To make it seem more impossible.
His strength and weakness.
I think, yeah, to make it is impossible because he's already dead. For them, it's impossible.
Right.
That's why when he's talking about prayer and he says, if you say to this mountain, or if it's two or three of you, there I am in the midst. That's not the same ground rules that we live by in this dispensation. Mm-hmm. It was to lead them to what their kingdom was and what his will was in that kingdom. Now for us, John 19. Well, that's not for us, but I'm just putting this one more out here. John. He says, you know what? It's not John. But one of those verses, he says, about God hearing sinners. He says, we know that God heareth not sinners. But, he said, but if any man worship him and serve him, them he hears. Well, that's all believers, aren't it? Wouldn't it be? We all believers worship and serve him, don't they?
John 9?
Okay. I'm just leading it up to us. We'll say, well, God didn't hear us. If he didn't hear your prayer. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had this. Jesus had healed this man. He gave him sight, and they asked him, who did it? These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now, I'm going to stop there because what's in question here again?
Law versus, or who to follow?
What?
Who to follow?
It's his ability. His position and his ability is in question again. Is it him? Or is he not? It's all based around the results. They pray for the results, if you get it or not. Is God? It's really walking by sight. Everybody's walking by sight. When they pray, I have to see the results that I want to see. Otherwise, it's not him. That's in the nutshell right there. If I see it, I what?
Believe it.
I believe it. If it's favorable, if I pray for it and it's a favorable outcome,
believe.
Okay. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now,
I mean, you kind of mentioned walking by sight. I guess their faith was based on sight because they're used to all the signs and miracles, right? In that dispensation.
That was, the sign is for unbelievers, not for believers. So that's why I said the Jews require a sign. They had to see something in order for them to believe that God was working. That's the very reason why they had the signs. Now, Paul, in our dispensation, he says, we walk not by what? We walk not by faith. We walk by
faith.
No, we don't walk by. We walk by sight.
No, Paul doesn't.
He says, we walk not by
sight.
We walk by faith. We walk by
faith,
not by sight.
For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Okay. We just looked at a few examples of what they should have been confident in him and his in who he was and his ability. Even if it didn't turn out the way they wanted. That's faith.
And well, the thing is, what the Old Testament prophet said would be the sign of that prophet.
Okay. One more as we move on. I'll tell you what, we and John, look at John. Let's see, 18. John 18, I'm going to try John 18 and Matthew 26. Let's go with Matthew first. Matthew 26. Verse 36. 26:36. This is just before Jesus is to be betrayed and to be crucified. He says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. You know, I don't know if you, there's different passages in scripture where the same place that Jesus went to, he used to go alone. And he says to them this time, he takes them with him. And he says, come and pray with me. He says, come and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not
my will.
Not what? Not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. What? Thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he that is at hand doth betray me. Now, here's the Lord. When you talk about an example for you want an example for prayer, he goes and he says, he's praying to the Father, and he says, if this is possible, was it possible? Mm-hmm. Sure it was. But it wasn't what?
Will.
It wasn't his will. He said, if it's possible, I pray that this would be removed. And he asked him again.
Just check.
And he asked him again. Sound familiar? He comes away and he says, well, let's go, boys. Mm-hmm. He said this. I think he got his answer, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, he said that his meat was a little expired.
So after that, he says, I'm not saying that for us to ask three times for something. I'm just saying that he said, not what?
My will.
Because when we started off, I said the prayers, it was just for you to look at it. It says supplication, right? Supplication, prayers, giving of thanks. Intercession. They were all deal with our weaknesses, our frailties, but they were all directed for if you're saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth, two things. Those prayers and all everything, our weaknesses should be, if we address the weaknesses for each other. If we make supplication for each other, prayers and giving of thanks, intercessions for all men, it should direct us, if they're not saved, for men to be saved, and to what? To find out what is he doing? What is God doing? It's not so much as what I can get out of it.
Being part of his will.
Worship and serve.
We just read it, didn't we? Just read that. If any man, okay, now we get to that was back there for them, and I just use Jesus as an example because his prayers is what I believe that our prayers should be like. Is not what not what I want, but what you want. Where we fall down is that we don't know
how
we don't know what he wants. Okay, Romans. We did that. We looked at that before. Romans 8. And I'm not. He just said we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the what? The Spirit makes what?
Intercession.
Makes what? He makes intercession for us. According to what?
Will God.
That's what he said, didn't he? He said he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Romans, well, we're still at 8 verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh what? He maketh what? Intercession for us. Why is he making intercession for us? Because when things start to happen, you see that whole list of things in Romans 8? When things start to happen, you kind of think like, well, maybe God's not on my side. Maybe he doesn't have my best interest at hand. Maybe he doesn't have my best interest at hand. But he said, we know that all things, we don't know that.
We should
know that. It's all God's will that all men be saved and come. All right. Now, Paul, this, Ephesians 3. Ephesians, yeah, 3. We know that, look, there's, I told you before we started what it was going to be like, right? That was, but Paul, he prays, when he prays in Ephesians chapter 1, he prays for information for them. In chapter 1. Chapter 3, same thing. He says, verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what?
Strengthened,
strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where?
Outer man.
In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what?
Faith.
Faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the other saved people the truth. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he tells you now, to him that is able to do this, to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And isn't it funny that after he says that, he goes into chapter 4 and he starts talking about the vocation. Your vocation. Well, you weren't here last week. About your real job. See, time, you know what? You know what you're going to come up next week? You're going to pray for a job. And you had that right. You had that privilege to do that. You say, God, here it is. They sold me out. I need another job. You know how often I pray for another job? Every Monday and Friday. Every Monday and Friday. And you know what I can do? I can get another job. I can go, you know what? I can go in Monday and say, here go my 2 weeks. Listen. I'm not trying to be irreverent. I can go in Monday, give my 2 weeks notice, and God's got nothing to do with that. That's my choice I can make. Mm-hmm. And say, here, and then I can go home and say, okay, God, I'm dependent on you now for my welfare.
I think you're testing it now.
Listen. There's a guy that told me this, and it was a preacher, a friend of mine. Something to think about. He said, look at David, Abraham, Moses, Paul. He says, and you see how God, you know, dealt with those people. And he says, and we believe they existed, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if that's the case, he said, do you know that today, that we are today's Bible characters? And that was so profound to me I had to stop and think about that. We talk about being disconnected. Well, you can read the verses, but just to hear him say that, where he says, if you look at that and see how God took care of those people in hindsight, he says, if we look at that and realize that those things happened, he says, well, we are today's Bible characters.
We're on the timeline too.
And he said, well, why would we think that God wouldn't take care of us? Or if he would? Now, the only reason I said that was to say this, is you can't hold God
to the standard you set,
to your standard, like Jacob. He said, if you get me out of this, God, I'll give you a tithe. You know what? I know some people that got put out of their homes putting God on that kind of performance.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know some people who died saying they believe in God in their situation. Mm-hmm. And but what he does allow us to do is, until you come into the knowledge of the truth, he says, you can ask me for anything you want to. What is the truth anyway? What's the knowledge of the truth?
Knowing what his plan is, and what, it's almost like what his contract fully is.
What is it?
Yeah. Today he's forming the church, the body of Christ.
I mean, for us individually, what is it?
That we know what he's doing and that we can join him in that.
Ambassador.
Therefore, we properly worship and serve according to the truth. Because that's why you got so many people out there saved that are not worshiping and serving him according to the truth, because they don't know the truth.
Right.
They stopped at salvation.
That's great. We back to the same thing again. What is the truth? Like, you know what? Jesus before Pilate, and he said, are you a king? And he says, what do you say? What do you say? And he says, for this cause, for this cause came I into the world to bear witness to the truth. And he says, I have power to crucify you or let you go.
And the only power you have is what God has given.
And he said, what? The only power you have is what? But he says, I came to bear witness to the truth. No, that's... I'm getting ready to tell you right now. I was just letting your thought process go. Is in Hebrews, the Lord said this. He says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, a body thou hast prepared me. He says, I come in the volume of the book
to do
what?
Thy will, O God.
To do thy will, O God. He said, and he told Pilate, he said, the truth is, I'm coming, this is why I'm here, for you to do what my Father wants done. If that means that I'm going to the cross,
okay.
He says, look, we just had a talk. Me and my Father, I just talked to him 3 times about this situation. I'm okay with it. I said, I'm ready for it.
What thou doest, do it quickly.
So the Lord had already made his mind up. He says, I'm doing his will. And when we talk about us today is when we find out more and more what his will is, that's why Paul can say this. He says, I have been instructed how to abound, how to be abased, how to be on top and how to be on the bottom.
Patience.
He said, I've been instructed of the Lord. I said this before. It's not like deja vu. I think I said it. He says, and whatever the outcome is, he said, you know what? How could he be okay with it?
Because it's God's will.
Because
he wants to be aligned with God's will. That's why in Philippians 2, he tells us, you know, about having the mind of Christ. And he says those things, I guess it's Philippians 4. That's the outcome of the mind of Christ.
He said, done. You know what? I'll say this either. If you ask Paul, what's your will, Paul? He would say, I don't have one. Then it's not my will, but what? Okay, we're going to stop right there. But like I said, there's something to think about. It was something I thought about this morning is for us to chew on that. And maybe we will. We'll have to revisit that because it was not prepared properly. But it was something to think about as you go over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Get it?
To give thanks. Right. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. Strengthen us according to our needs as we go forward. Lord, help our unbelief as we read and study your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.